everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 6th of September, 2012, home of our program, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear the program anywhere, anytime at buckmastershow.com. We post the show to the TucsonSentinel.com, TucsonCitizen.com also has the Buckmaster Show, and GVNews.com, that's the website for the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun now has a link to the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today we will spend the first half hour of the program debating the so-called top two primary measure expected to be on the November ballot. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll look at efforts to enhance air service out of Tucson International Airport, and then we'll close out the show talking more about the ballot propositions. There's about 10 or so that will be on the ballot. Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, will join us, and he will break down all of the propositions. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040 for your questions and comments. Well, the state Supreme Court is expected to decide this week whether the Open Elections, Open Government Initiative will make the November 6th ballot. Most folks expect it will. The top two initiative will fundamentally change the way we elect people in this state. Instead of holding partisan primaries, Arizona would hold one primary, and the top two candidates, regardless of party affiliation, would move on to the general election. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is former Arizona State Representative Dr. Ted Downing from Tucson. Dr. Downing is a professor at the University of Arizona, and he's one of the leading advocates of the open primary system. Joining us also on the Buckmaster Show, Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman from Arizona. Ted and Bruce, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having this debate on your show, Bill.
Why change the current primary system, Dr. Downing?
I think that the problem is that people are expressing some kind of dissatisfaction with government. Specifically, they feel that government doesn't express the consent of the governed. And you can see that, I think, in the registration figures of both the major political parties. Democrats have been losing market share, meaning they've dropped from a very large amount down to nothing since 1940, and less than a third, the third-ranking group. Republicans began their decline in the mid-1980s when their percentage of the voter population began to decline. So something's going on.
While the independent vote has been going up.
Exactly. And likewise, if you look at things like the people that decide to sip tea or occupy, there's a general dissatisfaction with governing. The way we're doing this, actually we're not changing the governing system. We're taking the governing election system that we've used since statehood at the municipal level, and we're bringing that up to elect the people at the federal and the state level, except for the president. So actually, we're just taking a current system we know and spreading it writ large.
That's Ted Downing speaking for this measure. Speaking against is Bruce Ash. Dr. Downing says the Democrats and the Republicans going down, independents going up. Would this change things to help the parties, which both parties have come out, by the way, of course, Bruce, against this?
Yeah, both parties are against this, and it's not because they consider themselves to be elites. The simple facts are that this program doesn't work. It hasn't worked so far in California. It has not worked in Louisiana, where it's been since 1977, and it doesn't work in the Northeast, where it's just now starting out. And it's not going to work here in Arizona, because what we're going to end up with is an even more bifurcated and an even more polarized setup, where political parties will select their candidates, if you will, in caucuses, and you're going to have candidates from further from the left and further from the right. It's also unconstitutional. A court case currently being fought in California pits a Democrat candidate who will not be in the general election against two Republicans that were the highest vote getters in the top two primary there. And Democrats had a choice in every election in the district since California entered the union until now. Opponents argue that the top two open primary system is unconstitutional because it precludes third-party voters from casting a ballot for their candidates of choice. And Ted talks about dissatisfaction with voters. Well, I would say two things. Number one is that's what elections are about. I never liked term limits at the Arizona legislature, and elections are the ultimate term limiter here in our country. And lastly, people need to get more involved in politics and pay more attention. When there's more people watching a football game, a preseason football game where the standings don't even count, the results of the game don't count, then the former president of the United States, who's a pretty entertaining and engaging sort of a guy and gave one of his greatest stem winders last night, then you know something's wrong. People aren't paying attention.
Well, just to set the record straight, last night was the it was not preseason on NBC. That was the start of the
– Oh, I stand corrected.
That was the start.
I'm a baseball
the
guy, not an NFL
football
guy.
League game. So there was a lot of interest in that. But your point well taken as far as diminishing interest in politics. So Bruce brings up quite a few points there. Ted, do you want to have at it?
Yeah, and I think that maybe we're misunderstanding what elections and what this country's about. What happens, why we have elections is to decide whether or not we express the consent of the governed. Since the very beginning, we realized that it's inevitable that a minority of the people will be ruled by leaders to whom they did not give consent. And that's that's the core of our idea. Republicans feel that at the national level, Democrats feel it at the state level, and here in Pima County, Republicans feel it where they feel they're minority. So the issue is, the remedy is not consensus. It's how in the world do we create a system so that those people that are minority can feel that they gave their consent. Something's happened in the election system, and under the current primary system, the party members, a very minority of them, go in and vote on each side, and from those you get what we call a top one primary rather than a top two. So that at the general election, the voters walk into the ballot box and they see two choices, maybe not the ones they choose, even if they're looking at their own party. Under this system, all the voters, not just the party loyalists, will vote, and those top two will emerge into the primary. The concern here is that you want to make certain, and the reason that we like it, is that you want the people to believe that they've given consent. I feel, and those of us that worked on the initiative feel, that when you step into the ballot box, you're looking at two candidates that were chosen by the majority of the first round, and you get a chance to pick between the two. That's very different than the current ones, where even members of the minority party, who are picked by just a handful, 15, 20 votes in the cases of some of the very small parties, that end up side by side on the ballot with the general. One more thing, and I think this is the critical point in the whole discussion today. In the U.S. Constitution and in our system of government, it's not one party, one vote. It's one person, one vote. The parties are not in the Constitution. They have wiggled their way into getting the right to limit who the choices are, and this is about opening voter choice for all voters.
Okay, Bruce, before you answer that, I want to tell everyone that we are listening to a discussion about this open primary initiative expected to be on the ballot. Ted Downing is here. Dr. Downing is one of the architects of this open primary initiative. He's a former state representative, and Bruce Ash is with us. He's the Republican National Committeeman from Arizona. Now, Bruce Ash, about the U.S. Constitution that Mr. Downing or Dr. Downing talks about.
Well, what Dr. Downing ignores in Arizona is that independents can vote in primary elections. When they show up at the polling place, we've made it very easy for them to vote. They can decide that day that they want to be a Democrat, or decide that day that they want to be a Republican or a vegetarian. Whoever they want to vote for, they can vote. And independents, as a rule, typically don't vote as much as party, registered party voters. But look, I need to point something out so that all the listeners are aware of this. This is not a bottom-up sort of a revolution that Dr. Downing is supporting. The people who are in back of this are the top business leaders in this state who want to have more control, not Joe Lunchbucket like the three of us sitting here. They want to have more control at the state legislature and more control over federal candidates. And this is their way of doing it. And don't be deceived by any of this talk about equality and liberty and all this other business. This is about a very few number of men and their companies who want to take over the electoral process from political parties.
Before you answer that, Ted, let's bring in one of our listeners. Charles has a question for you. And Ted, I need you and Bruce each to slip on your headsets there so we can hear now from Charles. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, or not, and then he could just answer anything he wanted. Ted. Ted, this sounds very democratic in terms of the way it's being done. I mean, with a small d. And it's no overstatement to say that the Constitution was written to protect us against democracy. If you read Article 4, Section 4, it talks about a Republican with a small r, in other words, a representative form of government. How, and therein lies the difference between the consent of the governed. People give their consent when they walk into the booth. That's their consent because they're delegating, they're sublimating, if you will, their authority to the government to do something for them. The will of the people is what they put on the ballot. How do you see the difference between the consent of the governed and the will of the people? And I'll gladly take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Charles.
Excellent question, Charles, and I do appreciate it. And I think now we're getting down to the core of why this is on the ballot. It has nothing to do with conspiracies or business groups. And by the way, the initial draft of this was put together in interviews with other states and looking at cities, and I put that together and brought it into the drafting committee. There wasn't any behind, and I had absolutely zero money from any corporate group in putting this together. And people that know me in town know that I'm not quite a corporate.
The supporters of this today, though, are.
Yeah. In order to get it on the ballot, you're going to have a lot of supporters coming in different directions. Everyone has their own purpose. Back to the question of the caller. I think what's happened, there's two parts of the consent of the governed. One is that expression of it, which is through voting, and what holds us together as a country. There's always hope there'll be another election so that if you happen to be in the minority side, you can step up and be in the majority. But the more important thing, and having sat in the legislature and gone through the daily issue of governance, and this is not just true of the legislature, it's true of the PTA of the Boy Scouts or whatever organization you're in, and that is that you have within the group, you're going to have people that have minority opinions that disagree with what that consent was. The strength of the majority comes from being able to open up and give opportunity to the consent of the minority. So in the legislature, it was always interesting that the Republicans very respectfully would listen to us as we expressed our way. If they shut us up, that's when you have trouble. And that's what's happened in many ways, that the minority has no place to express its voice.
Going to have to take our break right here. Coming up on We Are at 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show, we're discussing the open primary initiative that will be on, most likely, on the November ballot. Bruce Ash is here and Ted Downing. We will continue as the Buckmaster Show continues for a Thursday. Stay with us. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, Delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Kolb Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. We're talking about Proposition 121. That is the so-called top two primary initiative, an initiative that Ted Downing, former state representative from Tucson, believes will strengthen the party system and increase participation. But I think Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman from Arizona, disagrees strongly with that.
Well, I do. And one of the things that I most strongly disagree with Dr. Downing is on the rights of minorities. First of all, the rights of third parties are really shut out in this sort of a process. In California, of the 54 federal offices that were up for election, only 4 of the elections will have a choice other than Democrat or Republican. Of the 98 state offices up for election, only 4 of the elections will have a choice other than Democrat or Republican. Third parties, whether they be libertarians or, as I said before, the vegetarians, they don't get a chance to really play in these elections the way they do under our current setup. And also, kind of to the same point, this sort of a setup increases the amount of money involvement in politics. In party primary process, candidates focus their message and money on a limited voter population. And there's a comprehensive voter population for the general election. In a jungle primary, all of that is thrown out with the bathwater. And we're going to have more money that comes into these elections, more special interests involved than ever before.
Another comment from Buckmaster Show listener. Shelley Fishman is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Shelley.
Hi. This is a great discussion, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really helping me to form my opinion. So I've got a question for Ted. And I think, Bruce, in some ways you really just addressed it. In the likelihood that you could have cases where one party and only one party is represented, it's clear to me that once you become elected, you no longer represent your party. You represent an entire constituency. And my question is, doesn't this perhaps raise the possibility that one party would simply represent a set of views and not protect the rights of minorities, whether those minorities are main party or third party. I'll take that off the air.
Thank you, Shelley. Ted Downing.
Now, remember in the top two primary, the way it's organized, the top two candidates advance, you may or may not put your party affiliation. We left that open in a long discussion that was the First Amendment right of the candidate. But the priority is first the voters, second the candidate, and third the parties. Now, these elections under a top two primary, if you look at all your city elections except Tucson, by the way, Tucson is the only city with partisan primary election that take place. The 110 south other cities don't have those.
We're also the only one that has these goofy ward elections.
Where?
We also, City of Tucson also has these ward elections in the primary and then general elections for all the city council candidates in the general.
Right. And I think Bruce and I will agree that that if you talk about consent of the governed, many Republicans that live within the city boundaries don't feel that they have consent because of the structure of the elections. But back to what we're after.
Yeah, Shelley was worried that perhaps the minorities might find it hard to elect a candidate of their particular
choice. Well, it depends on what you mean as minority. There's many, many issues and many things, many identities and feelings on voters apart from their party affiliation. As I just expressed, we have, at least in Pima County, 10 to 1 people registering independent versus Republican and 10 to 2 in terms of registering Democrat. People are changing their identities. So to put people into office based upon one element of all the multiple feelings and positions we have on issues, which is their party, is not the objective. No one is being elected as a representative of their party because parties are not on the general election ballot, only individuals. They can choose to put it on. Bruce is right. In some cases in California, we've had two Democrats and two Republicans move forward. What's interesting is they're two different flavors and probably will go at each other just as much as two Democrats, Republicans in terms of their positions. It's all the voters who vote, not just the party loyalists.
That was Ted Downing. Here's Bruce Ash.
Well, and Dr. Downing, we've also seen in Louisiana, which enacted the jungle primary in 1977, that in a 1989 special election, David Duke, a known member of the Ku Klux Klan, was elected in just such.
Did he lose?
Well, that's not the point. This allows for some pretty goofy stuff to happen, and I don't think
and
that
compared to Arizona, what kind of goofy stuff has happened in this state? Well, anything?
All I can tell you is it'd be pretty irritated if you were forced to vote for two David Duke type candidates in an election. That's not a good choice. And these jungle primaries have not produced any better candidates. In fact, I would argue that in places like Louisiana and like California, we're not getting the kind of quality candidates who will come forward, who are willing to put themselves in quote unquote big machine political races if they have to kind of be out there amongst all the other fish in the sea.
Well, first is that when we designed this primary, we didn't use Louisiana as an example. We used our city and county elections. And in fact, we don't have in Louisiana, the top winner with 51% is elected. We don't have that system in what we're proposing here as a constitutional amendment. But I think the question I have for Bruce is we have 110 cities all over the state plus school boards elected this way. Can you tell me about all the David Dukes that appeared?
I don't think that's the point. We have had these problems in states like Louisiana, and we haven't seen in any of the states where a jungle primary is in effect. We haven't seen the quality of the candidates improve. We haven't seen the voter turnout improve. We haven't seen the bipartisanship that everybody had anticipated to get. In fact, some of the same people who are in favor of this are also in favor of another goofy concept called national popular vote, which would be to turn the presidential election in this country into basically a big senior class presidency kind of election.
You mean do away with electoral college?
To do away with the electoral college.
Oh, my God. I'll favor that.
Got about a minute left.
Like I said, another goofy idea from the same guys that brought you
in. I'd join probably 95% of the American public if we're all goofy on that.
All right. This is Proposition 121. It's going to be one of the marquee, certainly generating the most attention along with the dedicated 1 cent sales tax for education. I believe that's Prop 204. But there are, I think, 10 other props on the ballot, and we will be breaking down those at the end of near the end of the program today with Attorney Don Luce. But final closing remarks we'll start with Bruce Ash. Give me about 10 seconds, Bruce, on why people should just reject this outright.
I think that Arizonans do need to reject Prop 121. It potentially leads to
121.
It potentially leads to corruption. It increases money involvement in politics. It kills good candidate choices. It is unconstitutional. I think we're going to find that pretty quick. And it shuts out minority rights and third parties.
Okay, Ted Downing.
Well, its constitutionality has already been challenged by an odd combination of Republicans, Libertarians, and the League of Women Voters, and we've already passed that test in the courts. In fact, we continue to stay in the courts because of this odd new bedfellowship of people that normally oppose one another. I think they're opposed to the idea of the will of the voters coming forward. Top two will not change the outcome of the election at issue. Those are ephemeral matters.
Gotta go.
This proposition is about the long-term strengthening of government.
This is the first of many debates you will hear between now and Election Day on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Forecasters now predict a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening in Charlotte, North Carolina. But either way, the Democrats will be indoors as President Obama accepts the nomination for a second term. Citing a chance of thunderstorms, organizers move the event from a 74,000-seat outdoor stadium. Even as the president tells a TV station that he should have chosen his words differently when he made his "you didn't build that" remarks at a campaign event last month, Republicans are keeping up the attack over those remarks. The Palestinians are criticizing the decision by the Democrats to do an about-face and declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 216 points, the Nasdaq ahead 62. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back. 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster program presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of over 60 companies in the Tucson area, representing 17,000 jobs with a $2.3 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And joining me now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Michael Guyman, the Vice President for Regional Development at TRIO. TRIO is spearheading a committee of businesses and other key organizations exploring ways to enhance air service in and out of the Tucson International Airport. Michael, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill, and it's an absolute pleasure to be on your show. I'm a longtime fan of yours.
Thank you so much, Michael. And I want to ask you, how did this initiative, what's the genesis of this, Michael?
Well, it's interesting, Bill, because it kind of goes to the diverse needs and goals of the business community as a whole. When we talk to site selectors, one of the things that they reference is the service in and out of Tucson Airport and how that could affect both negatively and positively deals that come in and out of Tucson, companies that decide to expand or relocate to Tucson. So for us, it really has to do more with what the site selectors are telling us about, again, what those companies need and how the airport could best serve them if they choose to expand or relocate into the region. For the MTCVB, it's access for not only visitors or Tucsonans, you know, going to other markets, but actually mainly people in other markets having greater access to Tucson through our airport. For the Chamber of Commerce, it's just, you know, from a general commerce standpoint, the ability to ship or to do business, general business, with other markets, and having that access at the airport is obviously critical for a wide range of businesses, large and small. And of course, for the airport, they want to have good service regardless of if it's for leisure or business, so that they can attract other airlines, because you know they're a business in and of themselves, and so they need to generate revenues in order to sustain their business model. And so, you know, it was just sort of that conglomeration, I guess, of those interests coming together at one table and saying, "Look, we all have different needs and goals, but if we all work together and put together a comprehensive solution, you know, maybe we can reach better and increased and improved air service in the future."
Michael Guyman is with us, Vice President for Regional Development at TRIO. We're talking about air service. Michael, is it everyone wants nonstop service from point A to point B? Is this sometimes a deal breaker when you're talking to site locators who come out here and think about Tucson as a place to relocate?
It certainly could be, Bill. I'm not going to say that you know, it's incredibly high on the priority list. When we deal with companies, they're mainly looking at is the workforce and is the talent going to serve our business needs in Tucson? Are there, you know, what is the general business environment? You know, what is the taxation structure? How does that compare with other regions? So I would say that, you know, those are the top two probably priorities. And then, but somewhere on the list, there are quality of life issues, and there are obviously issues that do relate to how best they can access other markets, particularly on the East Coast. I mean, if they do need that East Coast access, then sometimes that could potentially be a deal breaker because we are a bit deficient in that area.
The Chamber was involved. You were saying the Metropolitan Tucson Visitors and Bureau was also involved, and, of course, the airport. Now, a survey was sent to businesses in Tucson, Phoenix, and Mexico. Michael, what were some of the questions that were asked in that survey?
Some of the questions really related. The main questions related to how often do companies travel, particularly their employees, and where they travel to most often. And then we asked another question that asked them where they depart from. Do they mainly depart from Tucson Airport? Do they depart from Phoenix? Do they depart from other regional airports? And that really goes to, and again, the airport has consistently talked about what they refer to as leakage, those are flights. Those are basically passengers that are getting in their car, driving up to Sky Harbor or other airports that are not in Tucson, and choosing to fly out of there. So we wanted to get an idea of who was flying in and out of which airport. And then we also asked questions about what airlines they fly, if companies do have travel policies, and if those policies relate to, you know, you must fly out of Tucson, if they get any specific like that, and then what the basic outlook for travel is for their business.
You know, Michael, I always like to tell our listeners, and I've said it for years, that this leakage issue is a big deal. And when you decide to go up to Phoenix, to Sky Harbor, maybe you'll save a couple of bucks, and maybe you won't. It all depends on where you're going. But the bottom line is, when you fly out of Tucson International Airport, you are putting your money in a local entity, and you're supporting local people.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bill, and I know the airport would be certainly happy to hear those comments, and as well just to get that discussion out in the community even more, because according to their statistics, there are about 800,000 flights, or passengers, I should say, that are choosing other airports. They're leaving Tucson to fly mainly out of Sky Harbor. If those 800,000 passengers stayed here, we may have a completely different airport. Hard to tell, but you could certainly argue that that service and the amount of nonstop flights, I think, would be dramatically affected.
Boy, I had not heard that figure. That's like 800,000. We're pushing then almost 1 million people on that leakage area, so that is a huge factor. Give us, Michael, here in your closing remarks, some of the recommendations that came out of the survey and some of the action items that have been identified.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Bill. We think that we have enough empirical data to go to the airline and talk to them specifically about access to two new markets, and those new markets are New York and Washington, D.C. Again, we think that we have the data. The airport has hired a consultant the company is called Sixel Consulting Group. We are working with that consultant in setting up some of these meetings with these airlines. Again, taking that data to the airlines and saying, look, we have from the largest employers and even, you know, some small and middle-sized companies in the region, because we had over 500 companies respond to the survey. We think that we have the data that backs up increased service, or new service, I should say, to New York and Washington, D.C. Other recommendations relate to increased service and new service to other airports in the Los Angeles and San Francisco areas. Right now, we just have nonstops to LAX and SFO, but again, we think that we have the data to support service to Burbank, service to Long Beach, service to Oakland. So really going after some of these other regional airports within those particular markets.
And the Long Beach Airport, that's a big one too.
Absolutely.
Long Beach, Orange County. You mentioned Long Beach, but Orange County is also another big one. So this is, you'll be moving forward looking for the New York City area that you would think perhaps JetBlue might be interested. They operate up in the Phoenix area. Perhaps they would be interested in Washington service and improving the West Coast traffic from Tucson to the Los Angeles area. So you interviewed over 500 businesses. Generally, were they happy with the quality of service that when they go out to Tucson International Airport, were they generally happy with the experience?
I think they were, Bill. We did ask questions about, does the airport, give them the amenities that they need? And based on the responses, they were pretty pleased with what they were able to, the service that they were able to receive at Tucson International, whether that relates to internet connectivity, the parking rates obviously are much less than what you would experience in other markets. And the ease of travel as well, flying out of Tucson International. I mean, we've all flown out of Tucson International, and if we compare that to an LAX or even a Sky Harbor, getting through that security line, it's almost the case where you can show up a half hour before the flight and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, I know. I love flying out of TIA. Michael Guyman, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Michael Guyman, Vice President for Regional Development at TRIO. We're talking about a very important subject, air service out of Tucson International Airport. More information on TRIO, T-R-E-O, TRIOAZ.org.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1249. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can learn more about Splendido over breakfast. The folks there at Splendido would like to buy you breakfast. Go to the Tucson Hilton East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. Please call 762-4090, 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us in studio, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. There is now a revised edition. There's always plenty of updates when it comes to Arizona law and estate planning in Arizona, his other book, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Today is kind of proposition day here on the Buckmaster Show. As you know, we spent the first half hour, and I think it was very valuable to our listeners, going over the pros and cons of what has been now termed Proposition 121, the open primary.
Right, but there are other propositions that are going to be on the November 6th ballot as well.
Yes, there are, and besides the open primary, the other one that will be getting the most media attention, so we won't be spending really time on that today. That will be Proposition 204. That is the extension of the 1 cent sales tax. We'll be doing a full-blown debate on that here on the Buckmaster Show. But I want to go over, Don Luce, some of these other propositions. Let's start with Proposition 114. The subject deals with law enforcement.
Well, that's what the broader subject is, but it's actually subtitled the Arizona Crime Victims Protection Act. Under Prop 114, the Constitution would be amended to exempt a crime victim from liability or damages incurred by the perpetrator of the crime if it's classified as a felony offense. So the thought here is that crime victims ought not to have to worry about, in addition to being the victim of the crime, also getting sued by the person who committed the crime. The language that would be added to the Constitution would make it clear that a perpetrator is absolutely prohibited from suing a crime victim for anything related to that incident.
So it's kind of a Crime Victims Protection Act.
Pretty much so. And we have a very extensive Crime Victims Protection Act already on the books. But one of the things that it does not include is a prohibition against a lawsuit by the perpetrator against the victim. So this amendment in that sense would sort of fill that hole.
That's Proposition 114. Proposition 115 relates to the modifications of the appellate and trial court commissions. Is this kind of a housekeeping item?
Not at all. This changes dramatically the
big
way.
Big deal then.
It is a big deal for the judiciary because it changes dramatically the way judges get appointed in this state. If Prop 115 passes, the governor will have a lot more authority than the governor currently has in how both trial court judges and appellate court judges are selected. You know, currently there is a judiciary commission which vets the applicants, and, you know, typically you have dozens of applications for each judicial opening, and this commission interviews everybody and, you know, does the due diligence process to make sure that the most qualified candidates make it to the shortlist. But the shortlist is very short. It's only three. And the commission sends the shortlist to the governor. So under the current system, the governor only gets to choose from three candidates under this Prop 115. It would be increased from three to eight, and the governor would have input in terms of who actually even decides who goes on that short list. So it's a very big change, and what it would do, of course, is sort of shift the power from the state bar, which currently has the commission, to the governor, who would then select the members of this this commission and expand the list of candidates from three to eight.
Prop 116 and 117 give tax – 116 gives tax break to businesses with newly acquired equipment, and 117 limits the annual growth in limited property value of locally assessed properties.
Right. These are the money propositions. 116 is also known as the Small Business Job Creation Act. Now, this would also amend the Constitution to allow the state to give businesses a larger break on taxes paid on newly acquired equipment or machinery. And so pro-growth proponents say this is a great idea. It would encourage entrepreneurship and small businesses. Prop 117 would amend the Constitution to cap the annual increase of the value of real property used to calculate property taxes to 5% over the value of the property for the previous year. So, again, these are money propositions. One has to do with small business and a small business taxation. The other one has to do with property taxation. But they both have money as their common denominator.
118, yearly permanent fund distribution by 2.5% of monthly market values of the fund from five previous years. What's this one about?
Well, this is, you know, one of those that's not going to garner a lot of public
yeah,
attention.
It's hard even to describe it.
Okay.
Or confusing. I can read it, but I'm not sure I understand what it is.
So it would amend the Arizona Constitution to provide that for the fiscal years 2012-2013 through 2020 through 2021. So that's basically an eight-year period. The annual distribution from the state trust land permanent funds to the various public institutions would be 2.5% of the average market values. So you had asked earlier, is this a housekeeping or administrative?
Yes.
Prop 118 would be considered that in my estimation.
119 deals with property as well?
It does. This actually it's been on the ballot in various forms previously, but it would amend the Constitution to allow the state to exchange state trust land for other public land if the exchange is in the best interest of the state land trust and the purpose of the exchange is to either assist in preserving and protecting military facilities or from encroaching development or to improve the management of state lands. So the concept here is we can use our state trust land if the exchange is going to preserve and protect military facilities. That's the main thrust of 119.
Proposition 120 would declare state sovereignty over state natural resources based on the argument of equal footing. This is an environmental proposition.
It is. And quite honestly, I think this is another proposition that is not going to get a lot of press. It's not going to get a lot of public attention. But the Arizona Constitution would contain this declaration if 120 is passed.
And then we have, as we mentioned, 204. That will be the sales tax increase. That one's going to be hotly contested probably, Don Luce.
Well, the critics contend that the current 1 cent increase, which is set to expire the middle of next year, would essentially be extended. And they consider that that would be reneging on a promise that was made to the public when the 1 cent tax was initially passed 3 years ago, because the concept was that it would be of limited duration. And now the group that is proposing to have this 1 cent sales tax on the ballot would essentially extend the tax for an indefinite period.
Don Luce has been with us, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates offices in Tucson and Phoenix. His updated book, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, this one's hot off the press.
It is. The second edition came out last month.
And quite a few new laws you cover in there.
I included all of the updates to the existing laws, and I added homeowners associations, nonprofit corporations, and gun laws, which were all the topics that people had asked me about and weren't included in the first edition, so I added them to the second.
Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. My pleasure.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over there, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. I've been sending a lot of listeners over to Silver City for a long weekend, and they all come back just saying, I love the place. I mean, so much going on. This weekend, there's a free music festival returning to Silver City. They call it Pick-A-Mania. For, I guess, the guitar picks, right? Okay, Pick-A-Mania is this weekend. You can stay at so many great places, Bear Mountain Lodge, Georgetown Cabins, Faywood Hot Springs Resorts. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services to your home or office. Great Culligan water right here in the Buckmaster Show studio. John C. Scott comes up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. He is the dean of local talk. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Friday Focus interview tomorrow, Michael Keith of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And, of course, we'll have the Reporters Roundtable. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.